The Bible says, be not deceived. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap.
All right, it's 4 p.m. on Wall Street. Do you know where your money is?
Welcome to Financial Issues, where we align reality with truth. Conservative talk radio you can count on. Financial issues that you need to know.
We face a disintegrating economy, a weakened defense, and an energy policy based on the sharing of scarcity. We will simply apply to government the common sense that we all use in our daily lives.
Now, here's your host, Dan Celia.
Good morning. Welcome back to Financial Issues. I'm Dan Celia. It is great to be here. Well, we got some economic data coming out this morning. Not a whole lot, but a little bit coming out this morning. The important number, believe it or not, is probably going to be the EIA number coming out about 10:30. That's the gas supplies, because we've got some really amazing numbers coming out of API. And API is generally off, but I don't know if it can be off this much, but they're looking at a decrease of about 6-7 million barrels. I don't think the EIA is going to show that. So I'll watch that, because oil prices have been on a little bit of a run up lately. And we'll see what inventory numbers look like. Extremely important. And they will be out. The ADP employment number, that already came out. And it says that the private sector hiring did slow, drop to a three-month low or slow down. So they got 183,000, which that is higher than what is estimated we're going to get Friday from the government number. So based on over 300,000 last month, if we got 183,000, that would be great based on that. But nonetheless, they are seeing that it is down from February, and it is slowed. But come on, we went from 300,000 or so, give or take. It was a little more than that, I think. 300,000 to 183, and 183, if last month was 183, and this month ended up being 183, everybody's saying, well, that's pretty good. It's close. We'd like to have over 200. So the average of these 2 months is going to be well over 200 if it does come in 183, and who knows? They haven't even been close in the last few months of guessing that number. So we'll see what happens on Friday, but that's going to be the big number on Friday. And it looks like, at least what I'm seeing, I don't know if this is going to happen or not, but factory orders for the month of January, we still have not gotten factory orders for the month of January, and it's saying that factory orders are going to be delayed. I don't know why or why they could be delayed, but I would suspect after the just pathetic debacle that happened over retail sales numbers, I'm sure the government's not going to rush in to putting this number together, but we're supposed to get a January number. It'd be nice to get a February number, but we haven't gotten January yet. So we'll look for that. I don't think anything's going to happen. At 2 o'clock, we get the Federal Reserve's minutes, their beige book talking points. So that'll come out at 2 o'clock. Today. Of course, tomorrow I will be broadcasting live from Oklahoma City, and that would be because tomorrow evening I'll be doing a town hall meeting, Fairview Baptist Church in Edmond, Oklahoma. Edmond, Oklahoma. That's where I'll be tomorrow evening. We start at 6:30. Get there early. We'll be there early. My wife and I will try to, I would like to meet as many of you as I possibly can. I hope you'll have a chance. I hope I have a chance to shake your hand. So Edmond, Oklahoma, Fairview Baptist Church. Fairview Baptist Church in Edmond, Oklahoma. A great, great church under the leadership of some amazing pastors. You know all that I talk about pastors and saying what needs to happen in America. How desperately we need conversation from the pulpit that is going to motivate God's people, that is going to influence God's people, influence the people in the pews for God's word, and not allow the world to influence what they do say or how they say it. Fairview Baptist Church, Man, if I lived in anywhere near Edmond, Oklahoma, that's where I'd be going for sure, because they've got an incredibly solid group of pastors that work at that church. And it is a great group. I'm excited to go to that church. And I got to tell you, I didn't know that's where I was going. I had no idea. You know, I decided one day a few weeks ago to look to see where I was going in Oklahoma, and I saw Fairview Baptist Church. I was like, wow, I didn't even know that. So I'm really excited to be there. Paul Blair, who is a senior pastor, somebody that Yvonne and I have been praying for now for the last several weeks, going through some things, but we're excited to be there. Okay. U.S. stocks are opening a little bit lower. That's, by the way, tomorrow evening, that is, the town hall meeting. I'm talking about in Edmond, Oklahoma. It's tomorrow evening. U.S. stocks are poised to go open a little bit lower this morning, not a whole lot. Yesterday, they closed on the flat line. Looks like they're going to open on the flat line pretty much where they closed. There was nothing to talk about. They were well off their lows of the session, that is for sure, when they close, and I guess that is good news. Trade deficit soars to a 10-year high for 2018. And, you know, that's a little bit of an issue because it gives us maybe, some will say, a little bit of a snapshot of what trade and tariffs have done. Let me just remind you of a couple things. We're not counting very much on our economy when it comes to exports. We're just not. The ag sector, yes, that's going to be taken care of. Automobile sector, yes, that's got something to do with it. But all in all, 71% of our economy, 72% is consumer spending right here. We're not dependent upon imports, exports like others. We don't want to see this deficit, but we saw a slowdown in what was coming here from China, a slowdown in what was going. Our deficit increased. Not a big deal. Nothing we should be concerned about. But mainstream media will be making a big deal about this today. You can bank on it. All right. Speaking of bank, so I'm skipping around here a little bit, but one of the things that I've been concerned about and talking about for a long time is the banks in Eurozone. Look, folks, let me just tell you, and I've been said this more than once, but I'll say it again because it seems more apparent than ever today. The Eurozone's in recession, led by the largest economy in the Eurozone, Germany. Italy's in recession. France, in recession. I know not from a technical perspective, but look, let me tell you, they're in a recession. Here's the problem. The European Central Bank, to say that they're out of ammunition is an understatement. They don't even have any ammunition boxes left. They got nothing. They have no ammunition whatsoever. They can't pull out some bazooka of quantitative easing and say, we're going to fix this. They've got nothing. They have done nothing. Now, 6 months ago, you heard me whining about, I can't believe Mario Draghi still has a job. I'm going to say it again. I can't believe Mario Draghi still has a job. Look, they've got no ammunition. They can't fix it. You know, quantitative easing, what good's it going to do? Because you've got some strong countries that it's going to hurt. You've got some weak countries that it's going to help. But then the strong companies end up suffering as a result of the weak countries, which makes the strong companies say, I'm going to pull a Great Britain. I want out of this because this thing is not working for us. It's a huge political nightmare from this failed policy called the Eurozone. I heard Macron, the French president, right before election speaking yesterday. I was almost blown away by the fact that he's still talking about his globalist society. He has got French people protesting because he doesn't care a lick about the French people. He's worrying about the Eurozone. Maybe he wants to be president and king of the Eurozone. Maybe that's what he's running for. I don't know. All right, 844-707-5533. We'll be right back. if you... I had it on the first time. I thought I did. If you're thinking about partnering with the ministry, let me just remind you. Here's what's going to happen, because this happens all year long, every year, every month, all the time. We get a dramatic downturn. We get a dramatic uptick in volatility. What happens? Everybody runs to financial issues to partner. And we've seen this trend now for the last 3 years. And, you know, I'm almost wishing that we have a downturn in the market so that we can survive, because everybody's going to rush to become a partner. Here's the problem. You're not going to get a whole lot of advantage out of that. What are you going to get out of in the middle of a downturn when you should be buying, in the middle of an upturn when you want to try to get into the market? What good is that going to do you when you are going to have this learning curve that's probably going to prevent you from catching things where you should catch them? Instead, you're going to be missing opportunity because you weren't a partner. So we're going to have these downturns. I'm going to be talking about, I'm having a conference call. I'm going to be talking about an emergency conference call that I'm having maybe right away. I'm going to be talking about things that are going on or off the buy list. You're going to miss all that. So I am asking and reminding you that the ideal situation is for you to partner with the ministry all the time. As soon as you think about it, if that's something that you believe is going to help you, you're going to partner with the ministry. And I hope you're doing that. Some of you don't even get our newsletter. It's free. It doesn't cost you anything. Go to the website right now and sign up for the newsletter. All you need to do is put your email address in. It's an email newsletter. It comes out every Friday evening. But at least you can get some overview of what's happening last week and what's happening in the upcoming week. You're not even getting that, so many of you. Look, I want you to participate in the ministry. I want to help you. I want to help you help yourself to be a good steward of what God has given you. But you've got to do your part. I would hope that you would want to partner with the ministry so you can have access to the information that is put out on a regular basis. I get an email from somebody who sent me a screenshot. This happened last night, sent me a screenshot of their portfolio tracker. And I guess I could only see, they told me they had about 22 positions, but I could only see about, I don't know, the first, maybe it was 12, 13. I didn't count them, but I didn't get the whole page. If they're listening, they could screenshot me the other half if they want. But, you know, I got this picture. He said they've been a partner for three years. They moved to a prime partnership last year, about a year ago, and every single position they had was up. And I said, well, don't tell anybody that. People are going to think that that's what is going to happen all the time. I mean, they got in at the perfect time, but they got in and they stayed in. The reason why he sent it to me, he said he was up, or they were up as a couple, but he said, we're up because you held our hand and kept us from getting out. We would have never, ever stayed in under any normal circumstance. See, that's the benefits. That's just such a great benefit of the partnership. People are learning so much and understanding so much more than they ever thought they could. Somebody called here yesterday or the day before yesterday and said she keeps listening every day. Just as she starts learning, she realizes she didn't learn that much and she has to keep listening, but she's starting to get it. She's starting to figure it out. She's starting to understand these things. I think that is awesome. Now, if you're not partnering because you can't spend $85 a year, then you shouldn't spend $85 a year. And if you can't spend $85 a year, then of course you're not in a position to be investing. You should not be investing. If you can't spend $85 a year to know that you are honoring God with all that you have and that you are convicted and sold out on blessing the Lord with all that you have, that's what you want to do, you want to achieve, and you want to build a portfolio, then $85 isn't a big deal. But if you're still in your paying your debt off savings mode, then you don't need to spend the $85, and you shouldn't. But if you're getting ready, man, start getting ready to learn and partner with us. We hope you'll do that. I know you won't regret it. if I ask for people to call in and give us a little testimony of why it's good to be a partner, I'm sure we'd get some. But you hear those during the breaks, I know, on a regular basis. So I hope that you will pray about it and consider it, just like I hope you'll pray about our retreat and signing up for that fairly quickly, I hope. North Korea rolling out missiles, rebuilding one of their intercontinental ballistic missile launch sites. John Bolton says, hey, North Korea, you think your sanctions are bad? You know those sanctions? This is me saying, and I'm really paraphrasing. But you think you wanted away from the sanctions that you had? You haven't seen anything yet. Because if you go down this road, you're going to see a whole lot more sanctions than you've ever dreamed of. They can't afford it. China's trying to do the best they can for them, but that's it without China. And I'm sure that China does not want them to get too close to the United States of America. This is such a misguided, Satan-driven economy and world over there. But John Bolton warns you're going to see a lot sharper sanctions. Asia markets all higher today. President Trump getting hammered over continued investigations, now subpoenaing 81 people to look at all their documents. This witch hunt is absolutely ludicrous. And I can't believe our tax dollars are paying. Last time I checked, we had a republic. We had a representative government, meaning we elect representatives to represent us in the Congress. We don't have a democracy. We're not out there voting on every bill that comes forth. We don't have that to see what the majority thinks. We don't do that in America. We have a representative government. They're supposed to be representing us. They're supposed to be doing the people's work, not the politicians' work, the people's work. I had the privilege this morning. I just was amazed. And I tell you, I was watching. I had CNBC on. And so I see this. I don't have the sound on because I have three TVs on, so I don't have the sound on. So I see the bottom third there talking about Amazon in New York City. They were talking to Congressman Meeks from New York City, from Queens. So I turn the sound up. They must have said to him how many times, you didn't support this. Now you're whining because Amazon left. They showed a clip of the governor, Cuomo, saying, you know, this is what happens. We want to tax the rich, tax the rich, tax the rich. These are his words. And look what's happened. Now we got nothing. Congressman Meeks trying to say, oh, no, I care about my people. I was worried. He didn't care. And she was trying to hold his feet to the fire. He just kept deceiving everybody. And saying, oh, no, I was for that the whole time. You're wrong. There was no wrong. He was out there with the rest of them, the AOCs of the world. It's unbelievable. And, I mean, she had to get off it. She couldn't just keep harping on it. He wasn't going anywhere. But if it were me, the last thing I would have said, just so you know, everybody, for your listeners, just so your constituents, you were against it, and you can say what you want, but we know you were against it. I just want your constituents to know. That's how she should have ended it and taken the final word. I mean, it is just amazing to me. It is amazing to me. Oh, yeah, we're going to tax the rich, and then Amazon leaves, and now they're all whining and complaining. What did you think was going to happen? And he said, well, you know, it was a good deal. Yeah, it was a good deal. Until you all kept changing the goalpost. Listen, whenever you make a deal, folks, whenever you're making a deal, President Trump or anybody else are negotiating any deal, the idea of negotiating a deal, it's based on certainty. You're trying to find the certainty inside the deal that you can live with. It wasn't any certainty in this. It was like a football game, 2 seconds left, they're trying to kick a field goal, and the network is calling timeouts to negotiate moving the goalpost back. To eventually, the goalpost, after all these timeouts were used, got so far away, it was literally impossible for the other team to kick a field goal. I mean, that's what it was like. It was ridiculous. And they're saying, no, they were for it. They weren't for it. They were for it until they realize, hey, we've got them thinking they're coming now. Let's squeeze them for everything we can get. Got to give Amazon credit. And they said, no, thank you. Because the politicians took all of the certainty, what little there was, out of the deal. But they stand there, and they're going to say that he's going to go next, trust me, in June through October next year, he will be campaigning in Queens saying, oh, no, he was for this deal all the way, and everybody's going to believe him. That's the sad part, and they're going to reelect him. You know, I've been saying this for a long time. Just tell me one thing. Can somebody tell me one thing they did for their people? I used to say it all the time about the Congressional Black Caucus. Can you come and call me and tell me exactly what you've done for your constituents? Not what you've said. I know what you've said, but you haven't done any of it. It's crazy. It's insane. And that's what we have. You know, the politics is totally out of hand. We're going to have to watch 2 years of continued investigations. I'm almost getting to the point where they better come up with something to impeach this guy because it's ridiculous. All of this wasted time and wasted money when they ought to be expounding, building, growing out there, the economy that was built now on a sound foundation, and they ought to be looking for ways. They ought to be looking for ways to grow it. They ought to be looking for ways to extend it. They ought to be looking for ways to continue to see that go further and further in advancement to grow the economy. But they're not doing that. Weren't they? Do you think they like the fact? Did you see the poll numbers that came out on President Trump? 20% approval rating by African Americans. 20%? I haven't seen that since Barack Obama. 20%. Hispanic approval just continues to go up every month. They can't stand it. They can't stand the fact that black unemployment is at the lowest levels in the history of the nation and we have a 50-year low on unemployment rate. They can't stand it. They don't want to keep it going. They don't care about their constituents. We'll be right back. So let me just repeat myself going back to this time last year. I'm going to say it was even before that. It was before the inauguration. So let me go back to 2016, December 2016, November 2016, somewhere in that neighborhood. I don't remember which, but let me just go back to that a little bit. Because one thing that I said is still true today, might even be a little bit more so. It's just going to be harder to get today than it was back then. But let me just recap what I said. So back then I said, we are on the precipice of greatness to the likes of which we have never seen. We have an opportunity here in America to have an industrial revolution to the likes of which is going to make the 1950s and 60s pale in comparison. That's what we've got, right? That was the opportunity that was before us. Anyway, moving forward, President Trump gets sworn in. His policies start coming. We get a tax plan in. They debacled, messed up the whole healthcare system because Republicans still hadn't gotten used to trying to have a little bit of backbone, and they hadn't gotten used to this notion of playing offense. They couldn't do anything. They didn't get that passed. But then we get the tax bill, and because of Kevin Brady, Congressman Kevin Brady, Steve Scalise, some others, Freedom Caucus, on and on it goes. There were many. We get a tax bill, and that just set things rolling. And we see manufacturing coming in. We see companies ready to spend money. We see companies talking about how much money they're going to spend, talking about how many hirings we have. Even today, as we speak, we have 7.2 million job openings. That's a record, 7.2 million job openings. We don't have any kind of workforce that can fulfill that job opening categories. Do I think that some corporations have tapped the brakes a little bit? Yes, I do. And things have slowed down a bit. There's no doubt about it. But that's what we've had. That's what we had. We had an opportunity that was like none other. Then, and we were starting to take advantage of it. Right now, had voters come out just 2 years after they came out for the presidential election, if we had had a Republican-controlled House of Representatives, if that had happened, if we were able, if we fought hard enough to maintain that, we would have an infrastructure bill probably finished right now and moving on to other things. We'd be building a wall, constructing the wall, protecting our borders, and on it goes. And we'd have infrastructure projects getting ready to get started in a big, big way. We would have needed, whether we wanted to or not, to have massive reform to the legal immigration system of this country because we would have need workers. I can tell you if all of that had happened, if we, the voters, would have made that happen, because only we can do it. If we would have made that happen, the 7.2 million job openings would be nothing. It would look We'd be close to 8 million probably of job openings right now. We would have people flocking out of the discouraged worker area and flocking back into the workforce. Now, we have had some of that over the last 3 months. We've had people come into the workforce. But the fact of the matter is not enough, and we'd have a whole lot more had we stuck to the plan. But we elected a man who had a pro-growth business model plan for America. And it looks like by all the polls, when you look at his base, when you look at the Republican Party, he's got like a 91% approval rating as of yesterday. I mean, that's off the charts. So, yes, still approve, still, but we let him down. This is not, I don't care what he says or anybody around him says. He had the plan. He was going to administrator, but he can't do it without our help. And we dropped the ball. It's bad enough. We got every politician on both sides of the aisle not only dropping the ball, they don't even have the ball. They can't even get control. They can't juggle one ball anymore. So they let us down, sure. They have no backbone, no strength, no convictions. We know that. Now we've got a Democratic-controlled House of Representatives that's trying to change. How many campaign ads have you seen from Democrats saying, and from presidential candidates on the Democratic side saying, we're going to transform America? We've had enough of their transformation. President Obama promised that he was going to fundamentally change America. And what did he do? He fundamentally changed America. And then we see the same campaign rhetoric coming out of presidential candidates running on the Democratic side. And what, are we going to allow that to happen? Well, we can't take any more fundamental change to America. We need to change, but we don't need to come up with something new. We just need to go back to the past. We need to go back to the republic that the Constitution was founded on. We've lost our way. Have we? Or has our way gotten so clouded by the smoke and mirrors, the dog and pony shows from the left, that we just can't see the path anymore? I think it's the latter. Look, we are still there where I was in November, December 2016. We're still there. We're still at the same place. We have an opportunity to fundamentally change America back to the 1950s and 60s. That's what we have an opportunity to do. We have an opportunity, if we can get one more Supreme Court nominee, which I don't even want to think about what that'll be like, but if we can get one more Supreme Court nominee, we have an opportunity to fundamentally change the moral direction of America as well. So all of this, God has laid before us. All of this so that we might come to repentance. All of this so that we might be in recognition of God's plan for America. all of this so that we might not only be in recognition of God's plan, that we might have a newfounded conviction about God's plan like we haven't had in 40, 50 years. Are we, and I'm not talking about all of America, I'm not talking about the left, I'm not talking about the left turn that so many theologians have made, so many church pulpits have made, I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about the conservative Christian family values, God-centered principles of the right are standing on. Or are we going to allow the mainstream media to convince us that surely we must be wrong and that we've got to get with the program because the minority of the people are saying this and it's being covered in such a great way? I saw a poll on CNN yesterday that came out. CNN did a focus group. And in the focus group unanimously agreed that Joe Biden shouldn't run for president. And they're making a big deal out of it. Liberal media is talking about this. There were six people in the focus group. Six people. They got six people that lean so far to the left, and they put them in a room, and they ask for a show of hands. Six people. They're building news stories on and trying to portray a certain tone of the Democratic Party against Joe Biden. I don't like Joe Biden even a little bit. I'm just saying. Against Joe Biden, he's a little too centrist maybe for them. Portraying this tone and trying to convince the Democratic base that nobody wants it because of six people. Do you see the lunacy we're living in? Listen, I hope that you all don't need me to come here to tell you about these things so that you can see it. I'm willing to do it. I don't mind doing it. I don't have a problem doing it. But at the same time, I hope we're seeing some of this. And I hope we're able to have some understanding of what is happening. And I hope, more than anything, that it puts some fire in our belly, that it puts some fight to our faith, that it puts some feet to our faith, that we are willing to go out and fight for America. We don't have to I'm not talking about taking up arms literally, but I'm talking about taking up the sword literally, the sword being God's word, that we need to take that sword up. And yes, we should have all the armor of God on, but we need to take the sword up. You know, I've said to people, if I got to go into battle, a literal battle, I don't care about all that other armor. Just give me a sword. Or in today's terms, it would be a gun. I'd rather have that than anything else. Look, we need to pick it up and we need to start fighting. We've got to be like bulldogs. Holding on. We can't be discouraged by the fact that mainstream media is not, listen, I'm talking to a million people today. There's probably a million people going to hear this show, either going to podcast it or they're listening to it live. But I only said, do I know that? I don't know. I'm on 560 stations, TV networks, got to be a million people. That's nothing compared to the reach that we have, which is probably more like 130 million. Look, we have got to do that. We have got to give attention to those programming like this and others that are proclaiming the truth. We're going to get the phones. All our lines are open. The first one that calls in is going to be the first call we take. We'll be right back.
The The opinions and recommendations expressed by Dan are his own and do not necessarily represent the opinions of this station or any of the show's sponsors.
Welcome back. Financial Issues, 844-707-5533, 844-707-5533. Let me go to Nathan. Nathan is calling us from Tennessee. Hey, Nathan.
Hey, Dan. I appreciate you taking my call.
Sure.
I'm kind of like one of the person that sent you the email. Most, if not most of my positions are up over my portfolio. I've been with you quite a while, and I sure appreciate your help. Yeah. My question is regarding CD54 that a sell order was put in for, if that's for biblical reasons or what. Here's the reason I ask. I bought that, I think, a couple of years ago when it was on your sale list. It was at, I think, $7 at that time. Mm-hmm. As you know, it's gone down and down and down. And knowing that it was a long-term hold, I bought it all the way down until lately, and I've wound up with, I think, 182 shares of that.
Right.
But I've got my cost average down to about $16.47, I think it is.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, today's price on that CD54 is way under that. And if I sell at today's price, I'm going to lose about 9% of my total portfolio on just that one loss alone.
Sure.
And so that's why I was wondering if it's a biblical thing. I mean, I know I need to just go ahead and sell, but if it's something else, I was just wondering if I need to hold that a little bit longer or if I need to go ahead and sell and just cut my losses.
So I'm glad you asked that question. I was going to bring it up and I forgot. So you'll notice today, if you go to the website on my commentary section, I added an additional note to that sell. Because I got an email from a longtime partner yesterday or this morning. I don't remember. I read it this morning. His name was John. That's all I remember. And John Rice, he says, man, I'm in it for the long term. You know, I think he laid out the case for this CD54. He lays out the case for it. He says, I'm going to keep it. Is that okay? And I said, man, yeah, it's okay. And I told him, I said, I'll tell you the truth. I bought this last week. I dollar cost averaged down last week for the third time. In my own portfolio, and I ain't selling it. But I'll tell you why. So he wanted to know why I did it. He said the same. He was wondering if it was biblically responsible. It is biblically responsible. Nothing wrong with the company. As a matter of fact, not only is it biblically responsible, I still think it's a strong company. But I got to tell you, I got so sick of everybody emailing me about it. I know that's a horrible reason, but I just got tired of it. So I just said, look, just sell it. Everybody just sell it. I got to stop. I got to stop the email and the questions that everybody's calling in about it. You know, well, it's down. Of course it's down. You've had it 2 years, 3 years. It goes down. It'll come up. It'll go back down again. That's the nature
of it. I would not be averse to buying more of it, as a matter of fact, because I had decided after I grieved over it a while and you kept saying to keep it. Well, I decided to keep it. But I decided that if the political climate changed in the other direction down the road, this thing could go through the roof.
Exactly.
It may not, but it could go through the roof depending on how the political climate goes in a couple of years.
Exactly. Oh, I think it will. Oh, it'll go the other way. I mean, there's no doubt about it.
It's looking like that already, the way the political climate, the winds are kind of blowing in that direction.
Yep.
Those political winds could blow the stock sky high.
It could.
I decided I would just keep my little bit that I've got. If it were not for biblical reasons, that I would just keep it. If it's for biblical reasons, we'll sell it like we did Exxon.
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And always, if I take a stock off or sell a stock for biblical reasons, I'll always say that, and I'll always give a time to sell it, because I want everybody to sell it all at once, because I want the stock to tank, and it will if we all sell it at once. So because I want to institute, you know, the same day it tanks, and next day I can make my phone call to the company and say, look, here's what happened. I want to talk to somebody because we can keep this from happening. And it gives me a foot in the door. So I'll always tell you if it's a biblical thing. So I added a note saying, look, if you're in it for the long term, if you're truly a long-term investor, you know, go ahead and, you know, just keep it if you're okay keeping it. But so many people stressing over this stock that I just said, just sell it. Here's two stocks. Replace it with this. these stocks will probably come up sooner, maybe not as big, but they'll probably come up sooner. Replace it with these two stocks that I put on there and just sell. And there's another, I'm close to getting that way with another stock that's a healthcare stock that I put on my list. It's been a great, great stock. Everybody, it's gone down like 1 week. I mean, they've only owned it for a month. And everybody's stressing because it's only been on my list, 2 months now, close to 2.5 months. But it's so hard. I know I try to keep myself from doing that. But at the same time, I get so overwhelmed with so many emails. And then I get this email from Pat saying, you got to do something about this. This is ridiculous. It's killing me. I'm spending all my time on this one side.
Well, I had decided that if the political winds blow in the wrong direction next time, right, most of my other stocks would go way down, but this is one that would go up. So I rationalized keeping it. This is sort of the backup plan if they blow in the wrong direction.
Well, do you know why I bought more last week? Is because there was a report out that there were four different pieces of legislation waiting to hit the floor of the House of Representatives.
I paid attention to that too.
Yep. Yeah. And I saw that. I said, man, these people are nuts. I need to.
Yes. You know?
And that was one of the reasons why I bought more of it. Thank you, Nathan. I'm glad you called.
I appreciate that. Thank you for your ministry, Dan.
You're welcome. God bless. 844-707-5533. Now it's funny because now I'm getting emails of why are we selling? Why do I do that? And I tell everybody in the ministry, all the workers, look, we can't. I tell people, it's one person, it's two people, it's 30 people. We've got 14, 15,000 that aren't saying a word, So we've got to try to put things in perspective, but I lose sight of that myself sometimes. All right, let me go to Richard. Richard calling from Georgia. Hey, Richard.
Hi there, Dan.
Good morning.
Good morning. I just joined your ministry and became a partner last week.
Oh, great. Thank you.
And I just started listening to the station here last month. We got it down here in Georgia. And I'm 62. I plan on retiring when I'm 66. I've got a 401k with Fidelity.
Okay.
For the company that I was no longer working with.
Okay.
So I'm wanting to start to invest, but I don't know quite where to start.
Yeah, it's a good question. So is it still with that company?
Yes.
Okay. So the first thing you want to do is roll it out of there in the sense that you want to go. I would stick with Fidelity since you're already there and you know a little bit about it. But go to Fidelity, call Fidelity and say, hey, I want to open up a traditional IRA account. And they'll open it up for you. And then tell them you want to roll over this IRA. And they will guide you through what you need to do. I think the only thing you're going to need to do is sign a transfer form. And they'll handle the transfer. So whatever's in that old other account will come over to your new IRA account. At that point, you can decide whether you want to sell those things or not, so that you can start reinvesting. If you know you're going to sell them, then you can sell them before you even move them, and it'll come over to your IRA account into a money market account. Then at that point, you can go to whatever. So you're either going to be looking at on the website. So when you go to partners, you go to that first column, you find asset allocation models. So you're looking at, either 60, 55 to 65 or 65 into retirement, and you're going to work that asset allocation model, or you're going to scroll all the way to the bottom and go to the income portfolio. In other words, if you think that in when you're 66, so in 4 years, you're going to start pulling the income that this account is making out, which is a good thing to do just to help supplement your income. And if you don't need it, you can save it. But if you think you're going to develop an income portfolio, then you've got 4 years to get that developed, which you can just start pecking away at it, slowly and get a really, a good income portfolio going for you.
So this isn't something I'd be wanting to put all my money in at one time then?
No, I don't think you need to. you're going to bring it all over to your new traditional IRA. And yes, I would start gradually once it's all in over and it's now sitting in cash. I want you to start investing it. I just don't want you to feel like there's a sense of urgency. You know, just do it gradually. Don't buy anything and do anything unless it's on my buy list. If it's not on my buy list, don't put any new money to work unless it's on my buy list, and stick to that asset allocation model, and just, you know, take it slow, because I want you to be comfortable with it. I don't want you to get too overwhelmed. That's why I'm just saying, just go gradual and slowly.
Okay.
And I'm sure you'll have questions. You can call.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
That's a start then.
Yep. That's what you want to start. Start getting the new account set up with Fidelity, and then they'll walk you through how to transfer the old 401k over.
Very good. I certainly thank you, Dan.
All right, Richard. Thank you. I sure appreciate your partnership. God bless.
Yeah, God bless you.
Thank you. 844-707-5533. All the drugs are working. I feel much better today. I went to the drugstore and I told the pharmacist, I said, look, man, I'm on the air every day. I got to do something. And he said, try this over the counter or something. I don't even know what it is, but it's working. Anyway, 844, I don't feel great, but I sound better. 844-707-5533. I hope I'm going to see a whole bunch of you tomorrow night. Edmond, Oklahoma, Fairview Baptist Church. Man, I hope you're going to be there. Sure want to meet as many of you as we can. Come on out. Make sure you're there. And pray about coming to our retreat. It's right there on the website, financialissues.org. Right on the right. Scroll down. You'll see it. Man, we sure would like you to register. You better do it quick, though. And we hope you'll do that. We'll be right back after this.
Thank you for joining us. This has been an FISM production.